Today's study is study 26. And what I have described in my study is the word wisdom. And to realize that that's a gift of God. And to realize also the fact that we're all endowed with a certain amount of wisdom. What we pick up, even as children, and as we go along, we gain understanding and knowledge. Well, knowledge is the, I guess, is the true use of the wisdom that person has. And then the learning aspect of it is, comes from the knowledge that you've obtained by others who have did a study on the subject at hand. And the subject at hand is God and what he has done with man and what he has given man down through the ages. And the greatest gift of that was God's Son, of course. And when his Son came here and gave his life and his body for our sins and for bringing things back into order again under God's plan and purpose, then we have, there has always been a spirit or a ghost, if you will, a Holy Ghost. But down through the ages, the Holy Ghost was either with or upon people. And it was never really indwelling until Christ created his finished work on the cross. And that finished work on the cross gives us an indwelling spirit that gives us direction. And it brings that wisdom to light through knowledge and understanding and the gift of the Spirit of God. And in order to really fully understand God's Word today as we have it today, I don't think one can really fully understand it completely until they are endowed with that Holy Spirit and have been given that spirit of understanding, because that is the earnest of our inheritance that we now have. See, the inheritance that man has had down through the ages has been different. Some were given the hope of a holy city coming to earth. Others have been promised life on this earth, celestial or terrestrial. Terrestrial is earthly life. Celestial is heavenly life. And in order to get that understanding, I don't think you can really do it without the understanding and the gift of the Holy Spirit that helps us do this. And so this is why I went back and began this study to get where we are today. And we're going to go on through and we're going to try to tie Ephesians and Colossians into all this before we finish the study, because that's really where our wisdom and our understanding and our knowledge is going to take us in the study of God's Word. Because I don't think if you have the Spirit this day and age, you may have life through His name. But in order to fully understand what you're reading and be able to take it in, you comprehend it without being under the tutelage of somebody that's done it pretty much all their life, like the people that we have got in our bookstore where they have written and spent their entire life explaining the points that the Bible teaches concerning this truth. And I even have kid folk that I've been dealing with, and I know they have life, but I don't think they're a body member. They just don't seem to want to either put the time or the, and but they'll sit and listen, and they'll turn around and ask me, well, how long have you known all this stuff? And I said, well, I'm still learning. Life is a learning experience, and this is where we are. This is the road we're on. We're on a learning experience. So this is study 26. Today's study is the eighth day of 2020. And we're going to start in Acts 21. And I know Ronnie and I have been skipping around going through these things, and we've kindly using up the whole book of Acts by doing this. What one is not doing, the other is kind of picking up on it and doing it. So we're going to go to Acts 21:15. And the reason that we didn't want to make a full study out of the book of Acts is that we've done it three or four times for one thing, and for another thing, there is so much going on here since AD 29 when Christ hung on the cross. And things have changed in the past 28 years from where we are right now when we're going to get into 21. Because this is AD 57. You're going to get the book of Galatians. You're going to get 1st and 2nd Corinthians written just before Paul goes back to Jerusalem. And he's going to be there in the spring of AD 58 when he gets there. So here we go. And this is the reason I wanted to go back to here and pick it up. And we're going to do as much as we can do. If I quit talking, we ain't going to get very far if I don't. But we're going to look at 21:15. And we're going to try to do the rest of this chapter and see how far we can get in 22. If we can get that far. Said, after those days, we took up our carriage and went up to Jerusalem. So, you know, they was always, wherever they went with Paul, it's always a problem because there are people that are after him. They hunt him down. He's a hunted man. He's like the guy that we just took out in Iran the other day. People look at him as being an agitator and being a bad guy. But he's not a bad guy. He's the best guy that God has ever chosen to do the work for him.
Amen.
There's not been a prophet as well equipped as the Apostle Paul was, never before. So, we see here in 15, we see the word we show up again. So Luke is with Paul's company, a crowd here. And it says, and after those days, this is winter of 57, late summer, and into the winter of 57, it says we, and that's putting Luke in the butts, took up our carriage. That was their personal belongings. We would call them probably today a suitcase, a backpack, or whatever.
Bag.
Anyway, to Jerusalem. And you see, Jerusalem is off. Anywhere you're from, in that whole area there, Jerusalem is always up. Jerusalem is the high plain. It is the mesa on which God built the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, verse 16. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. So, here they're going, and they're taking their trip and going to Jerusalem, and it's not going to be a fun trip. Said they went with us also, certain ones from or of the disciples or from Caesarea, and brought or bringing with them one, a certain man. And I think the M there is silent, and that's the way I pronounce it, is Mnason of Cyprus. And Cyprus, you know, is the island off of the Syrian capital. Off of the Syrian capital, it's in the Mediterranean. It's 50, 60 miles off the coast there. And it said, an old disciple, one of standing in the Christian assembly there, with whom we should lodge, and we, and I think the note said that we were the invite of this person. So when on their first missionary journey that they started, Paul and John Mark. And Barnabas went up to the capital of Syria and then boarded a boat and went over to Cyprus. And this was the first place that they visited on Cyprus on that missionary journey. It's actually, they call it the second journey, but it's the first missionary journey. It was the first journey after they started having the famines in the land, okay? Now, thinking on that, they were going to lodge with this guy. He was going to put them up. Okay. When they got to him. And it says, and certainly he was one that, they picked up, and he went with them wherever they went. And I guess he was the one, paying the bills for their trip to this point here. And it says, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And that's pretty self-explanatory. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. So James was there, and the council basically was there. And so it wasn't just James. He was sitting there in the chambers with
the other apostles,
with the group that was controlling the temple area, the temple. The whole temple situation. So, it was at least part of the council anyway, if it weren't all of the council. And it says in 19, and when he had saluted them, he declared partially what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Paul, his deal was he welcomed them, and he related particularly to each one the everything that God had wrought, worked out, or did among the Gentiles by his ministry. And so we get to verse 20, and it says, "And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Paul, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews they are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law." So they changed the order of speaking right quick. And when Paul was talking about the Gentiles, they said, "Wait a minute, there's thousands of Jews out here that are waiting to hear stuff."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "What you're teaching ain't what they need to hear." So it kind of turns around wherever he goes and whoever he's meeting with, even with his brother. It seems like that some believe and some don't believe, and this is the way it's been with Israel their whole time.
Always has been,
yeah. Okay. And it says in 21, "And they are informed of you," or thee, "thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs." And so they're kind of accusing him of
preaching against Moses.
Preaching against Moses.
Was a bad thing to do.
Preaching against the law.
Yep.
And not circumcising your kids. Now, we don't like that. He said, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe in their zealous or enthusiastic of the law." And then they really get suspicious of Paul and Paul's work in verses 21 and 22. Let's read them. Well, we already read 21. It says, "What is it therefore? The multitude needs must come together, for they will hear that you are come," or "you're here." They're going to hear that you're here.
They'll know you're here, yeah.
"And these Jews are going to come, and a lot of them are going to come and hear what you say. Do therefore this that we say to thee." So this is their answer to their suspicion. "We have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them," pray to God, "and be at charge with them, that they may shave their heads, and that all may know of these things whereof they were informed concerning thee or nothing." So they said, "Well, we want you to tell these Jews that what you're saying to the Gentiles, to them, is nothing." Well, Paul's not going to speak out of both sides of his mouth, because he knows for certainty now, for it's been years already since he understood that he was to go to the Gentiles and Peter was to go to the Jews. And it's not his problem if some Jews come along with the Gentiles to listen to him.
Yeah, I firmly believe that Paul had two different messages.
Two messages.
One for the Jewish, sons of Israel, and
but this is not the way it's coming out with these people.
Yeah, well, they hear the wrong. Well, it's just like people that read the Bible. Yeah. Everybody reads the Bible, think every word that's said is said to them, and it's not.
Yeah. So we're gonna go on. So he's talking about they ask Paul, "Well, what is it?" said the multitude's needs must come together. They're going to meet with you here. Well, they'll hear that you come. They're going to hear what you're going to teach and say. And verse 23 was something to remove their suspicion, to take the vow. And 24 was to take the four and purify a prayer made unto God for yourself with them and be at charges with them. You're going to pay the expenses for your sacrifice, because there is a sacrifice that goes along with this, that they may shave their heads, full stop there, and all may know that these things you teach, for they were informed, and start in verse 21, concerning them, that they were nothing, just vanity, but that you yourself also walk orderly according to religious observances and keepest the law. Of course, they were saying, you know, that this was, in 25, that this was, really an ordinance for the Gentiles, because they said, as touches the Gentiles which believe, we have written and we have concluded, you know, we've been over this before, the law of the fathers, and was I think I turned page one page too many. Let me back up a page, yeah. That they observe no such thing, saying only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, things from blood, from strangled, and from fornication. So that was what they were beating on Paul to take that into consideration. So we get down to verse 26. It said, then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself or prayed to God with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishments of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. So during that time, sometime during that time, I don't know how all that was laid out, but they had to provide a sacrifice. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, they stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. So you see,
and that wasn't to give him the Holy Spirit.
He had been in Asia. He had been in Asia and come back, but these people, they got these little groups everywhere. And, you know, you think now that Iran and Iraq's got these groups. They do. And they are everywhere. But here, even then, even 2,000 years ago, almost, they still had the people that followed Paul around. They didn't really let him out of their sight much. They'd pick up on him and go where he went to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they've done in 27 there. After his 7 days were accomplished and he was able to leave the temple area there, they were there waiting on him to come out and said, oh, there he is. There he is. Crying out, said, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and had polluted this holy place. Well, we know by going back to Isaiah that they weren't the first ones to pollute the temple. They certainly wasn't the last.
The priests themselves did a pretty good job, didn't they?
Yeah. In verse 29, it says, for they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus an Ephesian whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. See, they wasn't sure what they were saying. They supposed that he brought Trophimus into the temple. They didn't know anything much about Trophimus.
Well, at this point, what you know and what you can add to it makes a pretty good story. Yeah, it's trying to get him in trouble.
Now, here we go. It said, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. Because, you know, they can't do anything in the temple like this. They're not supposed to. So they went outside the temple area to do this. And it says, and as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left off of beating. They left the beating of Paul. So they stopped beating Paul when the soldiers showed up. And it says, then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. So here he's wanting to know what they could charge him with. And some cried one thing and some cried another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. When he came up upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying away with him. This is, you see the same thing that went on with Christ when they got ready to put him on the tree.
They didn't do too good with anybody that wanted to tell them the truth about how they were.
some 28 years ago, this thing reappeared, you know. And as Paul was being led to the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? And he said, art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and lettest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? So somebody had come
mistaken that
before.
Yeah.
And so he thought that Paul was the same one. Paul says, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. So he says, he was in Jerusalem, and he said, I'm a Jew, and I want to speak to the people. And when he, the centurion, had given Paul license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, see, he could speak, he spoke to the centurion in the Greek language. But he spoke here to the Jews in the Hebrew language. And then we get to chapter 22. It says, men, brethren, and father, hear my defense which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew, tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I truly answered, I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, he came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and should hear his voice from his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again into Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. And the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, he said, Is it lawful? Think about this. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Are you going to do this? when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. He's a Roman citizen. Then the chief captain came and said to him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. The chief captain answered, said, with a great sum of money have thou obtained this freedom? And Paul says, no, I was born free. Then straightway they departed from him, which they should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. Oh boy. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused, of the Jews, he loosened him from his bands and commanded the chief priest and all the council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. I've got a little more time. It said, and Paul earnestly beholding the council said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law.
So he knew the law. He knew when they messed up.
Yeah, and they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people Israel. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brother, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called into question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. So Paul divided the people right quick by what he knew of them, because the Pharisee believed in resurrection, the Sadducee didn't. For the Sadducee says that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisee confesseth both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees part rose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel had spoken unto him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled into pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. So thou must bear witness also
at Rome.
So here is the angel telling Paul he had to go to Rome.
Yep.
And so Paul was going to declare himself as a Roman, person.
He knew how to get there when he appealed.
He said, I'm going to appeal to Caesar, because he is the head of the Roman group. And so this is how Paul got on his journey going to Rome. That verse there of 11:23. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together, bound themselves under a curse, saying that they'd neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. Now, these people from Asia, mostly, and they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. They came to the chief priest and elder saying, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore, ye of the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, and though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we or even he come near ready to kill him." And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of his centurions and them said, "Bring this young man unto the chief captain. He hath a certain thing to tell him." And he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee." Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, "What hast thou to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they would neither eat nor drink until that they have killed him, and they are ready looking for a promise from thee." So the chief captain let the young man depart and charged him, "See, you depart and charge him. See, thou tell no man what thou hast showed this thing unto me." And he called himself two centurions, saying, "Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 60 and 10, 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring himself to Felix the governor." And he wrote a letter after this manner: "Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greetings that this man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then come I with an army and rescued him, having understood he was a Roman. And when I would have known the case, the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but they have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or bond. And when it was told me how the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandments to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell." Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipas, Antipas. And on the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle. When they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and he understood that he was of Cilicia. And so I read 2.5 chapters there. And so that gives you some understanding of what happened and what went on there, that they were going to tear Paul apart if the centurion hadn't come with his soldiers and got Paul into the castle there in Jerusalem. And they took him by night with about 275 men to Felix. They went to Felix with him, where he'll be in prison for a while. So, you see here, you get the understanding that, yeah, you could just sit here, and if you've been looking at television the last day or two, you can kind of get an idea about how countries get all upset, these little countries doing things. Man, they don't know anything but kill somebody.
Especially the Middle East.
And it, you know, it was happening almost 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's happening again. So they have, one group wants to do something and the other group wants to do something else. And so this is something that's not new in the world. And it's been going on. It's been going on since they hung Christ on the tree. And that's, it's nothing new. And Satan is still doing the same old stuff today. They were doing then. You know, you think everything's fine and dandy. You think nobody would speak against God or God's word, but that ain't the way Satan wants it. And that's not the way it's going to be until he's done away with. He's got to be done away with. And so we see here that his mode of operation is no different now, 2,000 years later, than it was then with the Apostle Paul. It seems to be so prevalent that these things is going on, was going on then. You look around you and they're going on now. And you know, nobody knew of the United States then. But still, you go halfway around the world and it's still the same old thing. Satan is still the prince and the power of the air.
Amen.
And he's still dealing with mankind wherever they are. And he can stir up a crowd. He can stir up the crowd in a skinny minute. So we'll leave off in 23. But realize that this is what happened shortly after Paul had written some of the first seven epistles that he wrote before Acts 28:28. And so he's going to have a little time to write some more. And then he's going to be forward on a journey to Rome by what it said in 22:11. He said, "You've testified to me in Jerusalem. Now you've got to go testify for me in Rome."
And just fulfilling what he had to do.
And think.
Bear my name before chapter, kings.
Chapter 23 through 28. The next five chapters, and we read the one about getting on the boat and being in the storm. Ronnie did that Sunday morning. So we've got that message down already to a point to where, Paul is going to heal everybody on that island that had any problem. And then he's going to get it on the mainland.
Including the island leader's father-in-law.
Yeah. and he's going to go to Rome. And when he gets there, and the clock is unplugged for Israel, there is no more miraculous healings. That doesn't mean that Paul's power and ability is less than one bit. that it just changed from one view to another view in God's plan and purpose.
Amen.
Because what do you think, Luke? What? Just for a minute. Luke's with him. He was with him on that shipwreck. Luke got out. He saw the snake bite. He saw the snake bite to Paul. And he saw all the things that happened on that island after that. And it doesn't say Paul asked him for one thing to do because he was a doctor. All he had to do was touch him and heal him.
Oh, yeah.
And
they were all doctors.
And Luke understood that.
Mm-hmm.
Luke understood that Paul didn't need
it. I think it's probably fair to say that Luke had his own spiritual gifts, no doubt.
Yeah. And
there were probably things he could do.
He could probably do the same thing.
I'd be really surprised if he found out he couldn't do it.
But you see, things are going to change because God is going to set aside Israel and he's going to go to the Gentiles. And this makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world for the way things are done. And the way things are not done.
Amen.
Because there's no more animals having to be slaughtered for sacrifice. Didn't mean that people quit eating beef or quit eating turtle doves or whatever, but that they couldn't eat things offered to idols. And so it wasn't necessary for them to offer these things to God anymore.
Amen. Either.
So there you are. So think on that for a little bit, and we'll pick it up and go with it again next week if we can get this thing going. So.